Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, folks, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email to pick up your team T-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for more details. I won't be riding, but I'll be a part of it. I'll be emceeing the kickoff and being on over on stage at UB and part of that. So we're all trying to chip in a little bit here or there the way we can, and we hope you can as well for the Ride for Roswell. Sal Capaccio with you back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can always tweet me at Sal Sports to get connected with our fans. And that is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Fran Duffy is going to join me in about 10 minutes. He was going to originally scheduled for right now, but the Eagles have re-signed their center, Cam Jurgens, to a contract extension. So he's actually got to go do a little work on that. As I said, he still covers the Eagles from that capacity. And then he'll still join us, and we'll be able to talk a little bit of draft with Fran Duffy, one of the better guys in the business. Now he covers the draft for All City Network, and he is a Eagles analysis for PHLY Eagles online. So we'll get with him in a little while, and we'll talk NFL draft. I think it's a very interesting draft because there's not a lot of like consensus top talent at the top, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing. It sounds bad and can be uninteresting, there's no doubt. It could also be very interesting. One of the more interesting things might be about this draft that the second round could have a lot of craziness happen, because the first round has kind of just stayed. In fact, I don't know if you've seen this stat, everybody, but this is the latest we've ever gone to not have a first round trade in the draft. Like, anybody who's already been slotted since the end of the season, they're still slotted there. I think that's how you have to look at it, because there have been first round picks that are, have been, who doesn't have a first round pick? Anybody have two first round picks? Ooh, actually, maybe that's the case too. Hold on here. Let me see this. Josh, do you know? I'm going to take a look at this right now. Hold on. Maybe that's what the actual stat is, that no first round pick has been traded, I think, this entire draft right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's no double ups and no.
No, there's not. That's
no trades,
right,
or anything like that so far at all. So that's kind of the other.
Yeah, that's right.
The other craziness of it is that everyone has their own pick.
That's what it is. You're right. It's not just that no trades have happened this offseason. No trade has happened with any pick in this round yet at all, ever. Everybody who is scheduled to pick is still scheduled to pick all 32 teams in their original spots. It's not like there was a trade made 2 years ago that impacted this year's first round. That's wild. Anyway, the closest we have to that is pick number 39 in the second round. Carolina and Chicago when this was the, what was this? Okay, Carolina traded a second rounder in 2023. Their second traded this second rounder back in 2023. This is where this trade come from. That's why. In 2023, they traded a first and second round pick, a 2024 first, and DJ Moore for the first selection. So this is the Caleb Williams trade, right? And how they and how it's still impacting this year, but only in the second round, not the first round. So this is a long way of me going back to what I was originally saying. If you go and read Adam Schefter's notes on this draft, which I referenced earlier, really good article he wrote today about a whole bunch of things, including like Shador Sanders, where he falls, what teams are thinking, who could be risers or fallers based on just some of the things he's hearing. One of the things he writes is the second round, and this is right, could set up to be pretty wild because we could be looking at a whole bunch of quarterbacks in the second round being drafted. And especially if, like, what if Shador Sanders really does actually fall? Like, Jonathan Jones of CBSSports.com, do you see this one, Josh? Jonathan Jones predicts he has his one and only mock. He doesn't have Shador Sanders in the first round.
Did he give reasoning for that, or is it just like his just kind of hunch?
No, I mean, Jonathan Jones, he does a great job at CBS Sports. He actually was the one that had Michael Penix getting drafted by the Falcons last year. Nobody thought he was crazy, and it happened. Like, he's plugged in. He knows what he's talking about. So I think his reasoning is teams just aren't as high, and how many teams actually need quarterbacks. And those teams that do need quarterbacks are not taking them that early. Like, Tennessee at number one, I'm pretty sure is going to take Cam Ward. After that, the Browns could go with Shador, so could the Giants, but do they really value him that highly? I don't know. There is a thought the Giants could. The Giants have done a ton of work on him. I don't know, though. The draft gets very interesting. I think it's going to be Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. Now, it could also be Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, but I think those are the top three picks. After that, who knows? Does New England go with an offensive tackle, which I think they will, or something else? And what Schefter wrote, the Jags at five are kind of the true wild card here. A lot of people think the Jags, Mason Graham, bam, slam dunk. He said, nah, as he wrote, as Lee Corso said, not so fast, my friend. The Jags is where it gets interesting. The Jags, there's some smoke right now about the Jags maybe taking Ashton Jeanty. I think Jeanty is pegged and earmarked to go to the Raiders at six if he's there. Could the Patriots take Mason Graham? I think it could be possible. Maybe they take Mason Graham. It's going to be really interesting. So that's where things start to move a little bit, right? And then you get into teams who don't need quarterbacks. The Jets just signed Russell Wilson. Are they going to take one first round? No, not at seven overall. Carolina Panthers don't. Now the Saints do. But there's a lot of stuff out there about the Saints really liking Jackson Dart. And they would maybe trade down or not take one right away, a quarterback. Bears don't need one. 49ers don't need one. Cowboys don't need one. Dolphins don't need one. Colts don't need one. They're not going to do that. Falcons. I mean, once you start getting to a certain spot, it's going to take a team to trade up is what's going to happen. If you're thinking about the Bills trading, okay, I don't see them going. First of all, I don't see them really going up. They have done it the last few years, except unless it's like two, three spots at the most. I don't think this is a massive jump up. If there was a massive jump up, one of the teams that could very well be looking to move would be the Atlanta Falcons. They only have, let me see what Atlanta's got here. Hold on. I saw this today. Atlanta has only, how many picks? Five in the entire draft. And they do not have a third rounder. Like, that's a team that could really be looking to move down. New Orleans has a ton of picks. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, they have 9 picks. Bills have 10. That's a team, though, rumored to maybe move down. They're going 9-40 right now. Then you have teams that could wind up coming back up, like, how about this? The New York Giants from the second round. The Giants currently hold 3, 34, and 65. If they take Abdul Carter at 3, and then Sanders, for example, starts to fall, does Joe Shane pick up the phone, call his golfing buddy Brandon Bean, and say, hey, Brandon, I'd like to get back into the first round to number 30. Because let's remember, folks, first round picks come with the extra year, the fifth year option. If you wait to take a quarterback or anybody in the second round, you don't get the fifth year option. That's why a lot of teams think, a lot of people think that maybe a team like the Giants or the Browns or the Saints could say, you know what, our guy, we're not taking him where we're picking in the top 10. But once we get down below 15, 20, now we're going to take him. So, yeah, I think that could happen. And the Bills are in a spot right there where that could very well be. I mean, that's what the Ravens, I believe, did in 2018 for Lamar. Right? I don't think the Ravens, let me just see that draft real quick. I have to go refresh my memory. I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, the Ravens traded back into the round to take Lamar Jackson. Let's look at that first round. Here it is. Ravens. Yep, there we go. They traded back into, and a big reason was that's the 32nd pick. They wanted to get that there. You get the fifth year option. So that's what happens with a lot of this stuff. The Bills, remember, last year did this. They traded down, right, from where they were. Was it 28? Then they traded down to 30 and then 33, I think is how it worked. So I would not be surprised if anything like that were to happen with a team looking to come back into the first round. Let's get with Fran Duffy, one of the best in the business when it comes to covering the NFL draft. Love having him on. Love talking to him this time of year. This is like Christmas week for you, isn't it, pal?
It is. It's things are constantly flying left and right. And as we get closer, we know that the information, the scuttlebutt, the rumors, all this stuff is only just picking up more and more steam. So things will change by the day, but I'm excited for Thursday night to get here.
Fran Duffy joining me on the Wester Hotline. Follow him at F Duffy NFL. Has always done a great job. Covers the Eagles as well. All City Network when it comes to the NFL draft. All right, Fran. So I think here in Buffalo, we can just kind of focus in on a couple spots. I think we're looking at D-line and corner most likely early for the Bills. Is wide receiver out of the question? Probably not. I think it's unlikely, but you never know. From what you've seen, what you've heard, what kind of players could be available at 30 if the Bills were to stay there in the interior defensive line, maybe even edge and at corner?
Yeah, honestly, this works for me in my wheelhouse because, as you said, I cover the Eagles as well on a part-time basis, and they will certainly be looking at defensive linemen as well. I think when you're looking at this class, you know, everybody is very quick to say it's a really good class, and it is. I think when you're looking at the total number of players that are selected between on the first 2 days of the draft, all three days of the draft, it's going to be some historic numbers from the interior defensive linemen and from the edge rushers. But that said, it is a kind of the beauty is in the eye of the beholder type of group as well, where it depends on what you need, what you look for, what your preferences are at the position. All of these guys are kind of coming with warts. Maybe there's a lack of production, you know, some off-field concerns, some medical concerns, everything kind of jumbled in. And so where are you willing as a franchise to make those concessions? And so, you know, for me, when I look at the Bills, you know, a couple guys kind of come to mind that I think make a ton of sense for them. Because we know that they like that ability to slide guys up and down the line of scrimmage. If you're going to draft an edge rusher, you think of the AJ Epinesas of the world. Now, they've also gone out, and we know that they've gotten some Von Millers, those pure edge guys as well. And so I think they could dip into either spot. But I think to me, you know, guys like when you're looking at potential trade back options from the end of round one, you know, Landon Jackson, I think kind of fits that ethos of the Buffalo Bills, right? JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State, I think he fits that ethos, the culture that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean had worked to build over the last few years, you know, in Buffalo, kind of fit the bones of that defense. And then I think when you're looking at potential like pure line them up off the edge and just kind of let them rush, Donovan Ezeraku is a guy as well, I think, has that off-field component and then also just a very skilled player that can get off the field on third down. And then when you're looking at the interior guys, it really feels like Kenneth Grant has started to build a lot of steam here in this spot. But the problem is that I've heard Kenneth Grant could go as high as number 16. You look at number 21 potentially to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, there's a wide range of opinions on Kenneth Grant. There's a wide range of where a Walter Nolan could end up going off the board from Ole Miss. Now, the thing with the Bills that I always kind of keep in mind, we know that Brandon Bean, if he has a guy that he likes, he's going to be aggressive. And it, sometimes it's just that short little trade up, you know, where you move from, you know, 29 to 28 or 29 to 25, you know, the 3-4 spots. You know, they've seen, we saw them do it with Dalton Kincaid. We've seen them do it numerous times, Kyir Elam. So I think that when if they've got a player that they have earmarked that's a good fit and he's the last guy left in a certain tier, they'll get aggressive in those spots.
Any chance at all that Derek Harmon is there? And what about Tyleek Williams if that's a possibility still at 30?
Yeah, I think Williams makes a lot of sense if they stay put at 30. You know, you start to hear his name being mentioned with the teams, we'll say like mid-20s. So my guess is that he is likely on the board for them there at 30. As far as Harmon, that's the thing with him is that there are a lot of people that are really big fans of him. I've heard that Pittsburgh really, really likes Harmon at 21. It all depends on how much you feel that they could go quarterback, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I for one, think that they're going to pass on the quarterback position in the first round. I do think that they're going to target a defensive lineman, and Derek Harmon is a guy that checks a lot of the boxes for them. So to me, I think it's unlikely that Derek Harmon is there for Buffalo. I think he would require some kind of a deal up, and that's why part of me thinks that it could be Kenneth Grant. The other team that's a landmine here at this position, though, is the Green Bay Packers. And they pick smack in between Buffalo and between Pittsburgh. And so that's another team where if Kenneth Grant is on the board and, you know, let's say the edge rushers, the Shamar Stewarts and the Michael Williams of the world, they are gone and off the board. I think that they could go with the Kenneth Grant as well. And so that's why Buffalo is fascinating, because I think for a number of these names, you might have to trade up a little bit. But that's something that we've seen Brandon Bean is willing to do.
Fran Duffy joining me on the Western Hotline. How about corner? Obviously a spot where the Bills are going to address at some point here. They just signed Tre'Davious White, re-signed him, brought him back. Same with Dane Jackson. They leave, they come back a year later in White's case, I think 2 years later in Dane Jackson's case. Either way, though, doesn't preclude them from still drafting and needing somebody to develop outside, opposite of Christian Benford. What are we looking at from a standpoint of cornerbacks in this area?
Yeah, I think that there's a handful of names certainly to know. I think that when you're looking at Siobhan Revel, the corner from ECU, he is a player that, you know, behind the scenes, I've heard linked to Buffalo in a couple different conversations. And so he is one. Me personally, Sal, I'm a big, big fan of this kid's game. You look at, talk about like the overall traits, height, weight, speed, it's there. You look at the production on a per snap basis, it's there. The only question really is just the overall profile. He's an older player who started for a couple years at the junior college level, transferred to ECU, and you only had really a year and short change at that of real starting experience, because he tore his ACL in September after the third game. And so when you're looking at Siobhan Revel, you are betting on the come. You are betting that, you know, this is a guy that can come in and make an impact. He just hasn't done it at a high level of competition with a long runway of starting experience. And so there is a little bit of a gamble there. But look, if this guy had played a full season, my guess is he's going off the board in the top 15, in the top 12. That's the kind of talent that he brings to the table. We know that the Bills in the past, primarily zone coverage team, a lot of the scuttlebutt has been that they want to play a little bit more man coverage, and some of the coaches they brought in this offseason kind of speak to that, you know, with their man coverage background. And so I think Revel would give them a really good kind of turnkey there, with somebody that can come in, play pure press man at a high level and be able to execute that. The other guy I would say, there are two players really. Maxwell Harrison, he's the low-hanging fruit. He's been one of the more highly mocked players to the Buffalo Bills. It does feel like he's going to be a lock first round pick, and I almost look at Buffalo's potentially the floor there for Harrison. And then the other one, this is a guy that was in a lot of round one mocks coming into the season, but then after a hip surgery cut his season in half. That's Notre Dame cornerback Benjamin Morrison. You're not hearing him as much in the first round conversation now because of that hip surgery, but all the medical feedback has been pretty clean with him. It's just going to be a matter of how do you feel about a corner that has had now two hip surgeries in 4 years? Because he had one back in high school as well. Now, high character kid, went to Notre Dame, started early, 3-year player, productive. He's tough. He's physical. He's versatile. He can play press. He can play off. Instincts are good across the board. So I think when you're looking at Morrison, he's like a keep it on the fairway type of selection. I think with Revel and even with Harrison, I think that's a little bit more like, hey, like the higher boom, higher upside type of swing there at the position. I think if depending on who you talk to in Buffalo, and say like, hey, we are in a position now, we have to take some bigger swings. We need to try and find more blue chip talent to keep pace here in the AFC, as opposed to keeping it on the fairway with a player like Morrison.
Okay, so Bills fans will tell you how much they think they still need to upgrade at wide receiver. I don't think the Bills organization feels that way. They just had the league MVP with a whole bunch of guys that that Josh Allen is throwing to. But I do think there's an appetite for the Bills to get faster at wide receiver on day number three. Is there anybody on day number three who you look at and say, you know what, that's a guy that might be able to come in and at least play a little bit early on in the career and give you some explosive plays?
Yeah, you know, I would say, you know, Ty Felton is one of the first names that comes to mind. A senior wide receiver from Maryland was one of the most explosive playmakers at wide receiver over the first half of the season. Then teams really just kind of dialed in on taking him out of the game for the Terps and kind of shut that down. But I do think that he profiles as a nice speed receiver on the outside, get the ball in his hands and let him make plays. He still needs to clean some things up as a route runner, but this guy is a springy athlete. So that's one that certainly comes to mind. You know, the Isaiah Bond of it all, I think, is going to be fascinating to watch. I know the Bills have spent a ton of time with Isaiah Bond over this pre-draft process. Some off-field accusations in recent weeks could impact what that draft slot looks like. Is it going to be day two? Could he fall into the early stages of day three? That is certainly one that I've got my eye on. And then Shamir Dike from Florida, started his career at Wisconsin for 3 years, was largely unproductive in that pass game just because the volume wasn't there for the Badgers, but went down to Florida this year, and I thought he looked pretty good. The film was strong with Dike. Goes to the Senior Bowl, solid week. I thought he had one of the better positional workouts of all the receivers at the combine, and he tested well on top of it. But this is an explosive athlete that has that ability to be that three-level threat. So if you're talking day three, DK would be another person from Florida to keep in mind.
Okay, overall, first round. Where do you feel, how many quarterbacks, I should say, do you feel go in the first round? And where do you think everybody is right now on Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, that's certainly the big topic of conversation. I think if you were going to do an over-under, I would set it at 1.5. I don't think if it's a 2.5, I'm taking the under all day. So I don't think there's more than quarterback. So now it does come down to Shedeur. I mentioned earlier that I don't think that Shedeur ends up in Pittsburgh in round one. I don't believe he ends up in New Orleans in round one. I don't think that any of the teams at the top. So it's more a matter of, is somebody going to trade up to take him, you know, in the 20s and kind of beat everybody else to the punch? But all the sourcing that the people that I've talked to over the last several weeks feel like that is going to happen, that there's got enough of a market out there. But look, all the buzz lately has been, I don't know, maybe the teams might be willing to wait because that secondary market at quarterback, the Jackson Darts, the Tyler Shucks, the Jalen Milroes, is so strong. And if teams have those guys all pretty on a level playing field, they might feel like they can wait. And hey, we'd rather have Jalen Milroe in a third as opposed to Shedeur Sanders and, you know, without our third round pick and without our, you know, future day three selection as well. And so I wish I knew the answer, but to me, that's certainly going to be one of the big storylines of night one.
Yeah, and as I was just saying before you came on, you never know if a team climbs back into the first round and says, look, we didn't get our guy in the top 10, but let's go get him now because we get the fifth-year option, and maybe the Bills are a team you could trade with because the Bills have 10 picks. They're sitting at 30. It's what the Ravens did a few years ago, as you know, with the Eagles at 32, right? Yeah. And they wound up getting Lamar Jackson with the 32nd pick because you get that fifth-year option. This is another option for teams that have maybe who want to climb back into the first round. That's why maybe it's more interesting in the back end and into the second round than what we're seeing in the first round, Fran.
Yeah, and it's going to be fascinating. So if you are a Bills fan hoping for that scenario, it's one of two things. You're either hoping that Shedeur obviously falls to you in that spot, or you're hoping that Shedeur goes in the top 10, and now that forces that kind of chums the water for, hey, you know what, like create some urgency for those QB needy teams to try and deal up for a Jackson Dart, for the Milroes, and then that run, because we know how this goes. The NFL draft is a game of runs, and so it's, all right, mm-hmm. When does that quarterback run start? When does the receiver run, the corner run? And so if that run can start earlier with Shedeur Sanders going to a surprise team in the top 10, top 12, now all of a sudden that could bump the rest of the pecking order up. And so if you're a Bills fan, you're hoping for a trade down, that's the scenario. Those are the two scenarios you want to see play out.
How about the Eagles, team you cover part-time as well? What are they looking at this draft? Obviously, made a big move today, re-signing Juergens, their center. Where are they looking right now, the Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, I think if they had their druthers, they would love it to be an edge rusher. And so I think when you're looking at, you know, potential move ups for them, you know, could it be a Mike Green, the pass rusher from Marshall? Nick Scorton is a player that from Texas A&M that I've been a big fan of. He was in on a 30 visit. That's been a predictive for them in the past. I think that is certainly a possibility. That's who I had them taking in my mock draft last week. But they're kind of in the same boat where when you get to the end of the first round, you don't like love the value for in terms of the guys that are going off the board in that spot. So I think it could require a slight move up, or maybe it's a trade down. You acquire some more assets in that way. I don't think they'd be a James Pierce Jr. team, the pass rusher from Tennessee. Just looking at the way that Vic Fangio has deployed his edge rushers in the past, I don't think that he would be his cup of tea. And so I think when you're looking at some of these players, it can be a little tough. The player that's been most often mocked to them is an interior defensive lineman, and that's Walter Nolan. My guess is that Nolan is going to go off the board even before Buffalo picks, so I think that would require some kind of a deal up if you were the Eagles trying to acquire Nolan.
All right, last thing before I let you go, Fran, give me one player that you would say, don't be surprised if he goes a little higher than what people might be, you know, maybe teams are higher on him than the draft community, and one player that might go a little lower than people are expecting.
It's a good question. You know, the player that I'm just having the hardest time trying to peg in terms of finding a landing spot for him has been Mike Green, the pass rusher from Marshall, who obviously had a hugely productive season this past year, was one of the most productive pass rushers in all of college football in terms of sacks and TFLs, just stuffed the stat sheet in every way possible, did it at a lower level of competition, but obviously also comes with the off-field issues that he spoke openly about at the combine, a couple of accusations back to his time at Virginia and then even in high school. Every team is going to make a call on that and how comfortable they would be with selecting a player that has that history, even though nothing, you know, solidified and concrete and, you know, convictions or anything like that. It's still, you know, that is worrisome for a first round profile. And so trying to find a team and a match there that makes a lot of sense. I know everybody's penciling him into Atlanta at 15 overall. That's just, that's tough. That's tough to predict. And so he would be one that I think, you know, if everyone's got him going 15, if I had to say, like, all right, do you think he goes at 15 or later? My guess is it's later, personally. And so that's the one to answer the second part of your question. As far as a guy that could go higher, I mentioned Benjamin Morrison, the corner from Notre Dame. A couple other corners there that I think that could surprise. Revel is a player that was in first-round mocks, but it was bumped out after the injury. Wouldn't shock me if he ended up in the first round. Then the other one, I was talking with a scout last week, and he brought his name up, and I said, man, that this would be just so over the moon for me. I just don't see it, but I get it with the traits. And that's Darian Porter, the corner from Iowa State, who outstanding traits when you're looking at like the pure height, weight, speed of it. In that, you know, he came in at just under 6'3", 195 pounds. He runs 4.3 flat in the 40-yard dash. Former wide receiver at Iowa State. He made the move from wide out to corner, but he did it 3 years ago. So he's got 3 years of corner. Didn't become a starter until this year, and even then was a rotational starter. And so for me personally, I would find that hard to believe that a team would take him that high. That said, when Scott brings that up and says, hey, like, don't be surprised if he sneaks in there, that just, you know, kind of caught my eye, made my ears perk up. Like, all right, like maybe there's a team on the back end that could select a player like Darian Porter.
I love him, by the way, for a Bills fit, maybe not at 30, but if there's a second-round pick there, Bills at 56, I think if he's there, I think that's a guy that they would love to bring into their system, Darian Porter. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought up his name right there. Fran, we'll let you go. Thank you so much. Tell everybody where they can find all of your work this week and leading up to the draft.
Yes, Al, I appreciate it. I've got profiles written up on nearly 230 players throughout the NFL, just full scouting reports, combine, Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl, whole deal.
Love
over it.
You
can check PHLY.com, all PHLY.com. You can follow me on Twitter at FDuffyNFL. I'm on Blue Sky as well. You can check out, I post the links to all that stuff there. So follow me on there, the easiest way to find all my stuff.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Enjoy draft week, man.
Appreciate it, Sal. We'll talk soon.
All right, you got it. That is Fran Duffy. Really great job right there. And he had a bunch of stuff to do with the Eagles, you know, making a move today. And he said, hey, I got to record something here. So that's why we did a little bit later than we were supposed to. And that's why I'm a little bit late to the break. But I appreciate him and being flexible right there. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And we'll come back here on a Monday, 4 days before the NFL draft. All right, it is draft week, and Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase are taking over Resurgence Brewing for the ultimate draft night party on Thursday, April 24th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $45. They include pizza and all-you-can-drink beer and well drinks. Enjoy live analysis, huge TVs, and crystal clear sound so you don't miss a pick. Plus local vendors including Paul's Donuts and giveaways all night, including an all-inclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewing, courtesy of Resurgence. No purchase necessary. Get your tickets now at resurgencebrewing.com. Folks, it doesn't end there. It's draft week. Get ready for draft night on April 25th at Whalen Brewing Company in Orchard Park. Join us at the Ultimate Draft Party from 7 to 10 p.m., hosted by Jeremy and Joe. Test your knowledge with five rounds of trivia for awesome prizes, courtesy of Whalen, plus a special themed menu. Don't miss this party. Visit WGR550.com for details. It is draft week. Should be very, very fun. We have a few more days to digest everything that's happening here. Yeah, I don't know. It's really good debate, talk about, you know, how this all works here with the first round and rumors of teams only having maybe 12 first round. There's one I read, 12 first round grades. That's it. I know Jeremy hates that. That whole thing, like, what do you mean? They take him the first round, it's first round grades. I know. It's not. I get what he's saying, but we've had fun with it over the years. You know, the way teams grade, it's, you know, historically, okay, well, this guy would normally be a first rounder. This guy would be a second rounder, third rounder. And this year, there seems to be consensus, far less first round talented players, guys that you'd normally take in the first round, you have that high graded, that they are, to you, what would normally equal a first round pick, available. So the question becomes, I think from a Bills perspective, how many do the Bills have? We don't know. Maybe we'll find out from Brandon Bean. He's told us before. Sometimes he's said, yeah, we have 20. I don't know if he's actually given a specific number. He gives you a little more of a generality on it. The Bills are picking at 30. I'm going to tell you this. They're not going to have 30 first-round picks. You never do. Teams never have graded players. 30 first-round graded players. Most drafts, 20 to 25. Most drafts. This draft, far less. So this gets you to, well, how do the Bills treat that then? Do they stick at 30? You take a player at 30 and say, hey, we're hoping that someone that we have a first-round grade on continues to fall because other teams don't, and we get them at 30. That could happen. Or, yep, we're just going to have to, this is just the way the draft is this year. We're going to take a player at 30. It's our first round pick, but he's really more of a second round player, grade wise. They could do that. I don't think they'd come out and say that to us, but they could do that. Or the other options are, I think less likely, but you never know. They have, let's say 13 or 14 first round graded guys. All of a sudden, one of those guys is sitting at 20. Brandon Bean goes, I'm moving up 10 spots. If I'm going to draft a first rounder, I want a first round guy. So I'm trading up 10 spots. How far, how high can the Bills go, though? How far would they be able to go up? What would that be, that cost? I mean, it's a massive jump to go and do what the Chiefs did the year the Bills famously traded with Mahomes becoming the pick in 2017. The Chiefs went from 27 to 10. That's a massive jump. You just don't get that much in the NFL. It happens. You don't get it that often. That's 17 spots. For the Bills to go up 17 spots from where they are right now, from 30 to 13, would cost a ton. That's Miami, by the way, 13. Who else is there? 14 is Indy. So you figure, let's just say they want to go to, I think Atlanta, right? Atlanta's a good example here. I said Atlanta's a team where they're going to probably need some picks. They're going to look to trade down. Somebody said, so is Minnesota. I agree with that. Atlanta has 5 picks. Minnesota at 24 in the entire draft. Minnesota only has 4 picks. 4. That's a sweet spot to maybe trade to. But again, is there a first-round graded guy at 24? Could be. And then you trade up. The higher you go, of course, the more you're going to give up. The other option is, I think more preferable by many people, myself included generally, is you start to get closer to 30. You see the way the board's falling. You don't have a first-round graded guy. It's going to be there for you. You don't necessarily love your options. You know you already have 2 picks in the second round. You say, let's trade back. We'll get more value. Let's get that third-round pick we don't have right now. Like, I think that's something that is very much on the table this year for Brandon Bean, just like it was last year. The Bills were sitting at 28. They traded down. They traded down again. We leave Thursday night, leave the Bills media room, say, yeah, thanks, great food. Don't have a press conference about drafting anybody. I don't remember if Brandon Bean spoke or not, but either way, he might have. But they didn't draft anybody. The Bills held that first pick of the second round. That was Keon Coleman, of course, who they drafted. And that was after two move downs. So I think this can go either way. We'll see. We'll have a lot more for you all week long at WGR, WGR550.com. Make sure you're following along with me at Sal Sports on X and all other social channels and on YouTube, because Matt Bove and I today are going to record a draft podcast, another draft podcast. We've done some last week. I did another podcast with Carl Jones of Channel 4 WIVB. We did mock drafts. Each of us did one. We started off where I had the first pick and then went rotated, even odd. You know, I go one, you go two, I go three, I go four. And then we did it again, but we went the opposite way. He started, I go two, he goes three, I go four. Pretty interesting how the board falls differently for both those scenarios. And then today, Matt Bove and I will be doing and recording another Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Make sure you are subscribed to get the latest edition and episode on video at Sal Sports on YouTube, and of course on audio wherever you pod, iTunes, Spotify, and the Odyssey app especially. Okay, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Monday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hockey playoffs, baseball, I'm sorry, NBA and NHL playoffs are going on right now. We'll just touch on that briefly and get you kind of wrapped up here on a Monday, 4 days before the NFL draft. Hard to believe the Florida Panthers and Lightning don't even start their series until tomorrow night. They'll be the last NHL series to get going here. Had a couple of games last night, obviously. Three of them yesterday. Hurricanes taking a 1-0 series lead over the Devils. Maple Leafs all over the Senators last night, 6-2. Hurricanes, by the way, won 4-1 over the Devils. Vegas last night, they beat the Minnesota Wild 4-2. Tonight, more NHL action. These series, this one is just starting tonight. Canadiens and Capitals. Boy, Canadiens got hot towards the end of the year, but Capitals have a lot of firepower. They've been there all year, but I think the Canadiens will put up a bit of a fight here. Blues and Jets. Jets won the first game there. They're up 1-0. They play tonight. So do the Avalanche and Stars. Avs won the first game there, taking a home ice back, essentially. And then tonight, the Oilers and Kings get things going for the first time. So they have not yet started. NBA playoffs. A lot of blowouts early in the NBA playoffs. What did we have last night? We had a 50-point game, right? 131-80. The Thunder beat the Grizzlies. Thunder's good, man. So are the Celtics. Celtics and Cavs are on a collision course, right, in the East? It's going to be a fun series. But Cavs got to get through the Heat. They did yesterday pretty easily, 121-100. Celtics beat the Magic, 103-86. Warriors, they take home court back from the Rockets, 95-85 in the first game there. And my Lakers need to get back on the winning track. They did not look good in game number one. They don't play again until tomorrow night, I believe it is. I just want to make sure. I know they're not playing tonight. Yep, Timberwolves. They did not look good in game number one. So all that's going on. NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, draft week. Bills are starting off-season workouts. Their program, phase one, begins today. You can read about it at WGR550.com. Sabres Live is up next. They're going to talk all about what happened over the weekend, press conferences, Kevin Adams, Lindy Ruff, and players, and of course, One Bills Live after that. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. I'll be joining them at 5 p.m. today as we head towards the NFL draft. Have a great rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, 10 a.m. You'll get Derek and Zach. I'll be down at One Bills Drive for media.